Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. I'm your host, T. I hope you guys are having a great time. To anyone new here, a warm welcome. Thank you so much for checking out the channel. All I ask is after watching and or listening to the video, if you find you enjoyed it or you learned something, do me a favor, smash that like button and consider subscribing. Now, without further ado, let's jump into the weeds. The latest affidavit in the Madeline Soto case makes for a painful and disturbing read. The most shocking revelation from it is that Stern's crimes against this child began on June 19th of 2019, when Madeline was only 8 years old. Imagine that, a child just 3 years out of kindergarten. And what's listed in this affidavit are only the acts that Stern's documented on his phone. Who knows what the actual number is? Here are some key details to note from this latest affidavit. The SA appears to have happened primarily in the months of June, July, and August, which would have been during Madeline's summer vacation. Was Stephen Stern's home babysitting while Maddie's mom, Jen, was working? Why did he have greater access to Madeline during these months? 2. The dates in the affidavit are 2019, 2022, and 2023. I'm wondering why there's a 3-year gap between 2019 and 2022. Is this when Stearns and Madeline's mother, Jen Soto, broke up? Or was it because of the COVID pandemic? Jen would likely have been home at the time. Did that prevent Stearns from gaining access to Maddie? Or did he simply not record during that period? 3. I see a progression in the SA acts. To me, it looks like the SA progressed over time. Basically, this monster violated Madeline in every possible way, starting with her mouth and moving on from there. I'm not going to say anymore because it's so vile and disgusting. And while Stearns is SAing Madeline, he's also got a stash of horrific child pee, and that may be of other children. Now, it sounds like the prosecutors are holding off on a murder charge because they want to have all the evidence, likely DNA evidence that maybe is still at the lab. Also, it sounds like they want to go for capital punishment, and the only way to do that is through a murder charge. Apparently, whatever law was passed about committing SA against children under 12 doesn't apply to this case, because of the dates involved. So there is a new law that if anyone over 18 commits SA against kids under 12, that person can face the death penalty, but apparently it can't be used in this case, again, because of the dates. The law was passed after these acts were committed, apparently. I'm still trying to figure out the timeline and what could have been going on for about 3 hours on the day Madeline died, February 26, 2024, and the hours that I'm looking at are between 8:19 a.m. and let's say 12:15 p.m. The police have video evidence of Stephen Stearns throwing away Madeline's laptop and backpack in a dumpster in the community where she lived at 7:35 a.m. on that Monday morning. Stern said he dropped Maddie off in front of the Peace United Methodist Preschool at 8:40 a.m. However, video evidence shows Stern's returning to the condo complex with Madeline visible in the car at 8:19 a.m., and the police believe she was already deceased at this point. We don't know when Maddie died, but the police say they believe it was in the early morning hours at her home in Kissimmee. Stearns isn't spotted again until between 1 and 2:30 p.m. when he's 22 miles away from Madeline's home and he's changing a flat tire. That location is near Highway 192 and Old Hickory Tree Road, as well as Old Hickory Tree Road and Nolte Road. How did Stearns get Maddie from the condo to his car without being seen? Maddie only weighed about 110 pounds and stood just 5 feet 1 inch tall. I'm thinking he could have carried her or dragged her. Was Jen Soto so tired from work that she didn't hear any of this. If we factor in the 34 or so minutes to drive to the location where the body was dumped and 34 minutes back to the condo, it leaves roughly 3 hours. I don't think he dug a hole or anything. It sounds more like a very quick dumping of the body. Perhaps he got the flat tire from driving through rough terrain near the dump site. Supposedly, Jen Soto didn't realize anything nefarious had happened until she went to pick Maddie up around 4:30 p.m. Could Stearns have been using that time to come up with his story? I believe this crime was not premeditated. I think it's just a little too messy to be premeditated, so I think something happened that suddenly led to Maddie's death. I'm honestly thinking that Maddie did say to him, "I don't want to do this anymore." I think that Maddie probably was starting to be attracted to boys at school. I get the feeling that Stearns told Jen Soto what to say when the police and the media came a-knockin'. It definitely seems like he had her following his script. By calling him her partner, by saying that he was Madeline's stepfather, trying to create this warm, cozy family feel. I do think that Jen Soto looked like a deer in the headlights during the interviews. She wasn't crying, though. And is that because she was concentrating on making sure she said what Stefan told her to? Or was she involved in the crime? By the way, I heard on Gray Hughes Investigates that Stefan's mother, Debbie, has been contacting his friends, the ones who spoke to Gray Hughes, and asking them why they're talking, why they're saying what they're saying. So she's trying to control the narrative and not have the friends speak openly. Instead of doing that, she should be offering her condolences to the Soto family, and she should also be expressing her own shock. The key piece of evidence in this case is Stefan Stearns' cell phone, which he readily handed over, except he said that he accidentally hit the factory reset button. He's a dum-dum because they found everything he thought he had erased. And it may be possible that the cops find more than just photos and videos on his phone. They could find geolocation information and other evidence, possibly other communications. It's likely they have subpoenas out right now pending to social media companies. They're also looking for DNA evidence, medical examiner's evidence, and possibly electronic cameras in the area. But it sounds like most of everything is on his phone, which could create a legal issue, depending upon whether they secured that evidence according to the law, a search warrant, or not. I'm pretty sure we're going to be hearing more in the upcoming days. I hope you guys are having a great evening, and I'll see you next time on Bed Crime Stories.